The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Ty Griffith is joining us in a few minutes. Get your popcorn ready. She was late for the day. We were giving out popcorn to the first 5,000 fans Saturday. Kiffin having a lot of fun with all the media criticism. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285. And Carol in Georgia is up next. Hello, Carol.
Hey there, Paul. I keep you on in the background at work, and I heard the Grizzard name mentioned, and I work with the Grizzard Museum.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of your callers asked where Lewis's ashes were spread. Were they not spread at the University of Georgia? And he actually requested them to be distributed in three places, one of them being the university. And you might realize that there are an awful lot of people who want that to be done, diehard Georgia fans, no pun intended. But anyhow, when his widow went to try and make that happen, she was told, no, you can't do that, and as many people are. And sometime later, she did actually get the opportunity to go over there. And when she went with one of Lewis's friends to spread his ashes out on the 50-yard line, he was very specific about where he'd like to be to rest. She arrived and found the ball field torn up in a construction zone for the Olympics. And so the ball field was a big mound of red clay with an orange construction fence around it. However, they did make their way over the construction fence and tried to climb around all that dirt, which is extremely hard to do. And she was in tears and scraped up and bleeding a little bit. She turned and she's just frantic. I can't find where to put these. And he just said, look, I think this is close enough to the 50. Just throw them out right here, Deidre, and Lewis will find the 50-yard line.
So that's great.
Indeed, he is part of the Dooley Field, probably more so than anybody who's ever, no doubt, had that done. One of his other requests was to be buried in Moreland. Some of those are in Moreland in the family cemetery. And then also there are some resting at one of his favorite golf clubs. And because I don't know whether they like that publicized or not, I won't mention it.
Okay.
But I appreciate it so much, y'all talking about the museum. I encourage everybody to come out. His birthday is October the 20th, and this year is his 75th birthday. In honor of that, we are that Saturday, the 23rd, hosting the first annual Lewis Grizzard Invitational Softball Game. It's being held at his school, his elementary school ball field in Moreland, and we have elected officials and county celebrities from all over Coweta County coming to play in the ball game. And maybe next year you can come throw out the first ceremonial pitch.
I would be honored. The idea, and I know I hate to rip off one of Lewis's famous books, but Lewis turned 75, and I don't feel so good myself.
There you go.
Well, I tell you what, every time I talk to Peter and to you, I miss him more. And I mean the fun that we would have and the trouble that we would get in if Lewis was still around as a bit player here is pretty delicious to think about. Hey, thanks so much for calling again.
Thank you so much.
You bet. I know a lot of you young people are saying, who is this guy you keep talking about? Well, you're going to have to read Lewis Grizzard before you really understand. It's not something that you can get the dummy's guide to Lewis Grizzard. He's an institution. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Carrie is up next. Hello, Carrie.
Yeah, hey there, Paul. Good to talk to you again today. We spoke yesterday. I'm on my third day now of driving back from my trip out west. Finally made it to Mississippi on my way to Georgia.
Are you still blissful, or is that run out?
Oh, no. Well, it's been blissful, except for, I'm telling you, I mean, like I said, it's my third straight day of listening to your program, kind of on XM Radio here, which is great, but I have some thoughts maybe for your program to keep viewers like me or listeners like me interested for 4 hours.
Ooh.
Okay?
It's so hard to keep anyone interested.
I like college football just as much as the next gal or guy. I really do, but we need a break. Okay? So, you know, the other day when the guy called in about his cataracts, that made me laugh. That was a nice break from the football yapping. Okay?
I was interested.
So I thought it was, you know, it was something different. So my suggestion is maybe at the two-hour mark, you know, halfway into your show, you do a segment. You do like a cooking with Paul or grilling with Paul, maybe DIY quick project with Paul, crafting. I think you should do like a midway segment to really hold on to your viewers like me that would typically after 2 hours be like, daggone. But
yeah, Carrie,
you know,
I hope nobody takes this the wrong way, but people actually watch this thing for 4 hours.
For 4 hours.
That's
4 hours.
That's hard to
I know. My husband is one of them.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like some of us that are along for the ride, that's a little something different thrown in the mix.
Has anyone ever watched or listened to this show for four consecutive hours without drinking?
My husband. This is what I'm saying. My husband.
He doesn't drink. Could you do it, Randy?
Anyway, Paul. That's...
Randy, who runs all the equipment, here, so I couldn't watch this show for 4 hours, and he gets paid to watch.
It's on for 4 hours at my house, and I'm listening to it. Like I said, for 3 days, so I'm 12 hours into this program, or 10 hours, I guess, to this point.
I'm really curious, Carrie, when this show is not on, what are you guys listening to?
Well, Saturday is football, obviously, football.
I'm talking about like a random Thursday. Like, when the show is over, what do you guys watch?
Eat dinner and go to bed.
Oh, okay.
For the most part.
Well, that makes sense.
It's work, fine bombs, food, and bed.
So, in essence, we're an aphrodisiac for you. For the record,
Paul,
I don't think that word has ever been uttered on this show before.
Anyway, that's just my two cents. I would love to see a segment, ballroom dancing with Paul, painting with Paul. Something.
Well, Carrie, you stay in touch because I think there's a role on this program for you in the future. And there's no question.
Fantastic.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Paul.
Thank you. For the record, I did hear her laughing at that, didn't you? I mean, she found that to be pretty funny. I did, too. I don't even know what to do now. How about the guy called Bama John? Let's get back to the business at hand here. Hello, John.
Hey, thank you for taking my call, Paul. I got my earplugs on, so... when you hang up on me, it won't hurt my ears so bad.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah, I want to talk about how come you included they treat Bama players like they used to trash. They use them and when they get hurt. Saban got another five-star player and. It'll be okay. Still worried about if he hurt, will he get back soon or something like that.
Well, it's called in the parlance of college football or anything else, it's called next man up, where you can't sit around and fret over an injury, even though
I understand that.
I don't know. Have you ever been in the service? I mean, if somebody gets injured, you can't just say, okay, let's stop the war for a second.
Paul, give me a now.
By the way, I don't have any experience with that. I was just talking.
Paul, the refs did not call when the other day one of the players got leg whipped and tripped and it was plain to see, and the ref didn't call it.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to double-check on that, John. Hey, listen, I hate to do this because we are up against a break. Doesn't seem like we're always up against a break. Yeah. Mike Griffith is next, and we do not want to keep him waiting. It's the most anticipated 10 minutes of the week.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, we're back. And it's always time to talk. It's always a good time to talk to Mike Griffith. Big game for the Dogs this weekend, coming off a big game last week. Mike, thank you. So let's get the state of the Georgia program. Simply thrashing Arkansas and now moving on to Auburn. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Paul. Yeah, Georgia's loaded. There's no doubt. We've seen what this defense can do. Doesn't seem to matter which quarterback is under center. Georgia's had a lot of success. But here's the big thing. Jordan-Hare Stadium. And how much of a distraction can those fans be? How many penalties can they draw? I saw Florida had, I think, 6 motion penalties at Kentucky. We saw Alabama with some trouble against Florida on the road. Arkansas, I mean, it was over before it started between the hedges with the crowd. And this is a young Georgia team, relatively on offense, that hasn't really had a true hostile road environment since Auburn 2019. And really, Paul, the last time I can think about Georgia really being affected by a crowd was LSU 2018, because 2019 – they went up fast on Auburn, and all the Auburn fans just died. We didn't hear from them again until the fourth quarter. So I anticipate a different level of crowd noise at Jordan-Hare, whether it's Stetson Bennett or JT Daniels. They have not experienced a stadium like I know from way back when I covered the Tigers. I know how that Auburn crowd can get engaged. And if anything goes good for Auburn early, it's going to be real interesting to see how Georgia handles that noise in that stadium.
And you mentioned JT Daniels, and I don't mean to pick on him because, you know, he's an outstanding player and he's dealing with a lot of adversity, but what is his status?
Yeah, it's really unknown. You know, Paul, we were allowed to go to Monday practice and JT was not throwing the football. This lat injury, or as we know it around here, that injury Dak Prescott had in the preseason, the grade 1 lat strain, a rest is important. And look, if you're Kirby Smart, this is something to manage. I mean, let's face it, this is a championship sort of year for Georgia. The way the schedule sets up, the fact that Alabama lost 6 first-round picks, and listen, they're getting better every week, but still, I don't know if I'd ever say Alabama's down, but they're not what they were a year ago. So there's certainly a window there. So if you're Kirby Smart, you want to manage this quarterback situation, make sure JT's 100, because you don't want to relapse. You don't want to be managing this in and out throughout the season. You want him better once and for all, maybe for the Kentucky game, the de facto SEC East Championship, or certainly by Jacksonville when you face the Gators 70 miles from Gainesville in Jacksonville, yeah.
Okay, you opened the door for me to storm right in when it comes to the Gators. And to your credit, you've let the good with the bad flow in toward the Gator program. I'm really curious what your thoughts are about them right now after last Saturday night in Lexington.
I was surprised. I picked Florida to win. I thought we were going to see a Florida-Georgia game that would decide the SEC East. And, you know, just too many penalties. I mean, listen, Florida can really run the football, but Mullen's play calling, it's overrated. And he's got to have players just like anyone else. Does he have the right guy at quarterback? Might we see a quarterback change? But I look at it like this, Paul. You know, this Florida team, other than Georgia, I think they'll win out. And so if you're talking about a 9-3 season, I mean, Dan Mullen told us that 8-4 was a great season. He got a raise for that. I mean, I think 9-3 probably gets him another raise from Scott Strickland. I mean, that's the standard where Georgia's at, or excuse me, where Florida's at right now. You win 9 games, you know, win the East once every, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And that's probably a realistic goal for where Florida football's at right now. And you think about all they lost. You know, they lost Kyle Trask, who was, I don't know what he was, 4th or 5th in the Heisman last year. And they lost 2 first-round receivers. So it's a little bit of a rebuild for the Gators. And if they go 9-3, you know, I think Mullen will be at Media Day next year saying they were coming off a great year. And we'll probably go, yeah, that's probably the new grade for Florida.
You said a minute ago that Dan Mullen as an offensive coordinator was overrated. That is in contrast to what the national media consensus is, that he's the best offensive coordinator, play caller in America.
Well, then I guess that just makes Stoops the greatest defensive coordinator that ever lived, because Florida had all sorts of opportunities in the red zone. And I didn't say an overrated offensive coordinator. I said his play calling was overrated. I said I felt that they could have beaten Alabama. I didn't think the 2-point conversion. I'll tell you what, Urban Meyer would have scored more than Dan Mullen, that's for sure. But if nothing else, I do think the play calling could have been better against Alabama in the clutch and certainly against Kentucky. I just think sometimes people get carried away with narratives and they like saying it enough times. And listen, Dan Mullen is a very likable guy. You watch his interviews. He's very down to earth. You know, could be your next door neighbor, you know, the guy that dresses up in Halloween gear, whether it's Halloween or a press conference, but he's very a likable guy. So I think they're going to continue to win. I think they'll have success, but for the people that say that he's this crazy good play caller and you know, genius. I mean, look, they're football coaches, right? Let's not turn it into more than what it is.
Okay, so just for the record, what's, you know, as an offensive coordinator, but as a play caller, as a specific guy who makes the decision which plays go in, you think he's overrated?
Well, I if you're telling me that he's the greatest in college football right now, then yeah, and I've heard a lot of people really fawn over him, and a lot of people I respect. And listen, I know, you know, Florida's got a lot of TV sets and everybody wants ratings, but let's not just say things to say things. Let there be some proof in the pudding. I mean, the guy hasn't beaten Nick Saban in what, 11 or 12 tries, and he, you know, he made it to one SEC championship game and backed into it with a schedule and an in. All I'm saying is I think sometimes, Paul, perception, there's kind of a runaway train on perception as far as what's going to happen. And I've probably been guilty of that. I certainly thought Florida was going to beat Kentucky. I might have started getting carried away with the Gators myself and Emory Jones. And, you know, he may not even be the starter by the time I see him play against Georgia at the end of the month. I mean, there's a quarterback situation there. This is a transition year for Florida football. And, you know, it'll be nice to see him back in the spotlight in a couple weeks. But they're playing Vanderbilt this week, so nobody's going to pay much attention to that game.
If it's a transition year for Florida, what is it for Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M?
Yeah, well, maybe another contract year. I mean, he's gotten a raise from $7 to $9 million, and he hasn't won the West or beat Alabama yet. So I don't know. I don't know what kind of barbecue he's feeding those Aggie boosters, but they seem to like eating it up. And you know, this is a big week for Jimbo Fisher and the Aggies. Maybe they were looking ahead to Alabama like the last 2 weeks, right, when they lost to Arkansas and Mississippi State. This is a prove-it game for A&M. It's a big game for Jimbo Fisher. He needs to be at least competitive, or else Jimmy Sexton might only get him another million instead of $2 million raise, right? I mean, the money these guys make, Paul, like, give me a raise for nothing, right? Here, Jimbo, here's a $2 million raise. How you doing so far? Ain't beat Bama, ain't won the West, got an NCAA show cause, but show me the money with a $2 million raise. Because you talk good at a booster club, right? I mean, to me, at some point, the buck's got to stop and these ADs got to go, wait a minute. How about you win something before we anoint you the greatest play caller, before we give you a $2 million raise on top of the $7 million raise? I know that the SEC is making money and they're just burning it. everywhere but Vanderbilt, where they seem to want to spend it everywhere but football. I know, promises they're going to change everything over there. I'll believe it when I see it. But my point is, there's a lot of money being burnt on coaches that aren't getting it done recently.
Anybody who thinks that Dave Chappelle's new comedy hour on Netflix is the most entertaining thing on television is not watching you right now. You need to call Sexton and get yourself a side deal. You're killing. Hey, what? Before you go, everybody's opining on poor old Ed Orgeron. I don't think he got an extension last year, but he did get one the year before. And I think a buyout is somewhere between 16 and 20. I lose track of all these millions. So what's going to happen down there on the bayou?
Yeah, back's against the wall. I mean, I told you I thought he had to beat Auburn. I mean, now at Kentucky, this, you know, you lose to Kentucky at LSU, you know, just throw all the excuses out the window. This is a game. LSU has more talent. And listen, I think Kentucky, you know, they're a nice story. They'll get excited till basketball season. It'll be entertaining just long enough. And then the real show starts in Big Blue Country. But if LSU loses to Kentucky, Paul, I think it's over. I think the search is onward. There's probably already some feelers going out right now. And a lot of this has to do with the infrastructure of the program and how it was built. And to be fair, it's tough to build a program. I mean, take a look around the landscape, and there's not a lot of coaches that last a long time. I mean, if you look at the tenure of coaches, I believe Kirby, Stoops, and Saban, I mean, after that, there's just a tremendous drop-off. What have we had, 8 or 9 coaching changes in the last 2 years? I mean, it's tough. And as Kirby Smart says, humility's always just 1 week away. And, you know, for Ed Orgeron and LSU, I think they've really, really, really got to find a way to win up there at Kentucky. And that's going to be a charged atmosphere. I heard the Florida writer say some things. Let me say this. When I was up there to watch Georgia play Kentucky in another de facto East Division, that stadium, Kroger Field, put out. I mean, that was a tremendous game day. That place can get loud. I know it doesn't have as many people, but those Kentucky fans can really get after it. They're going to make it hard on LSU. I think that game's going to go right down to the wire and into overtime.
Great stuff, Mike. Always enjoy it. Thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend in Lee County. We are coming back with much, much more. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll check in on Arkansas Ole Miss in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back, and Greg is up next. Hello, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
We are doing great. Appreciate you.
By the way, just calling to listen to that lady that we were talking to earlier. She's traveling. We listened to you guys about 5 hours down here in Dothan, so we got you for a pretty long time.
Well, thank you. Dothan's a great place, and I appreciate you saying that.
Incidentally, while I was waiting, I got a call from my cardiologist, and I was looking for some paperwork, and he said, you know, take it easy during these football games, especially since Auburn came from behind last week to pull that one out.
Yeah, I've always wondered about cardiologists on a Saturday afternoon or evening in Alabama. It's probably a pretty good profession to be in.
Boy, I tell you, after that game, I feel like I'd run 10 miles, but you know, a lot of people have got Auburn like a speed bump for Georgia's destiny with Alabama, but I just wonder, is there any magic still left in the Jordan-Hare Stadium to pull up an upset next week or this weekend?
Well, I've always thought that's one of the most difficult places to win a game. And, you know, we saw it 4 years ago with Georgia going in there and Auburn just cleaned their clock. And I've seen it many other times. I've seen them beat some great Alabama teams in there. I've seen some beat a lot of other teams. So I think it's possible. I mean, you pull off the LSU win last week, but I tend to lean a little more toward the Bulldogs in that one. Speaking of Alabama, Mr. Alabama is on the phone right now. Larry in Shelby, Alabama.
What's going on? Fine, Bob.
Larry, how are you?
Oh, man, you were just talking to a cardiologist. Is that who he's talking to?
Well, he was talking about needing a cardiologist to watch Auburn play this
year. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, man, I probably need one. But I don't know. I was wondering about Georgia. Talking about 14 points was pretty crazy, man. I don't know. Red Dog, I think I know who that is. It's a guy that used to call under another name.
Yeah, he used to call under Matt from somewhere.
Yeah, I know Matt that calls with T-A-N-M, Texas A&M. You know, when he first called, he sounded like a fifth grader, man. I thought he was a grammar school kid or something. But he's come on pretty good as a caller. But I don't know. I'm trying to find something to be scared of, but I don't see nothing out there scaring me. I think we'll roll through these teams just like nothing, Jack. The only thing that scares me is you. You scare me, you know, because you're so negative. And negativity travels, you know. It goes through
what am I being negative about?
Well, I mean, you know, when a team loses, you pretty well get on. You're like Dr. Doom, you know,
yeah.
Dr. Doom Day. But I love you, man. I miss the guys being on the show where we can see them with the bananas and all that.
Yeah,
you ever going to get that back?
Well, we're close. Larry, thanks for the call. We had Kubiak on one day. We're under a lot more restrictions than we used to be. I think that's pretty obvious. I'm not going to say any more. I like my job. Let's talk to Robbie up next. Hello, Robbie.
How you doing, Paul?
Good afternoon. Thanks for the call.
Hey, thank you for having me on. So far this college football season, it looks like Alabama and Georgia have set themselves aside from everybody else. Much as I hate to say it, I think Georgia, if they face Alabama in the national title game, I think Georgia will beat Alabama and not just beat them, but roll Alabama in the national title game. I'd like to know your thoughts on that, Paul.
Robbie, I'll be frank. I've made a moratorium not to think about anything. I'm doing what the coaches tell us to do. All I can think about is the next game, because if we don't do that, we're going to spend the entire football season talking about the Alabama-Georgia game. And I've gone down that road before, and I don't want to do it anymore. Thanks for the call. Steve is in Atlanta. Hello, Steve.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I tell you, I got through to Joe Biden's basement before I could get through to you.
Is he still in that basement?
Yeah, he's still in the basement,
okay.
But the extension cord wouldn't reach him, so Jill didn't give it to him. I got one quick statement to make to you, and this is why I think not if, but when Orgeron gets fired, he'll have a tough time getting another head coaching job. And that's when, in 2009, when Tiffin was coach at Tennessee and Orgeron was his defensive coordinator,
right,
or line coach, whatever. And Tiffin got fired and was hired at Tennessee. And Tiffin took Orgeron with him. This is not secondhand, it's firsthand, because I was in Tennessee at the time and talked to some people. Orgeron, as soon as he got fired, went to some commits that he had made, he and Tiffin, and told them, hey, what I told you before about Tennessee being the best school in the country, it's not. It's USC, and come on 3,000 miles away and let's go play football. I lost a lot of respect for a man.
Yeah, Steve, you're right. He did that. I remember that well, and it was pretty cheesy of him to do it. But yeah, I don't think – I'm not saying he couldn't get a job at a smaller school who would think it's a big deal to bring in him in. But, no major college would hire somebody after being fired twice as a major SEC head coach. And you saw that with Will Muschamp. I mean, he's not getting another head coaching job, but that doesn't mean you can't get a job at McNeese State, though.
Yeah, well, that's probably one of the places he deserves to go.
Yeah.
But I just lost all respect. And I guarantee you a lot of ADs remember that.
Well, I think there are not many places that were offering him. Louisiana was different, though. Everybody knows that.
Yeah, well, just that Cajun accent didn't hurt him any. But anyway, thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure listening to you.
Thank you.
Do me a favor. Let's don't have any cooking show.
I don't think there's much chance of that. I really don't. How about Greg up next is on the phone. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
We're doing great, Greg. How about you?
Well, Mon and I are just out. We're vacationing down in Charleston, South Carolina, enjoying the weather. And
wonderful.
I'm hearing cooking shows, Legends on a Ranch. This guy, Leo from Louisiana, says you hate Louisiana. And that's a lie, Paul, because you allow Augie to call whenever he wants to.
True.
And if you didn't love Louisiana, you wouldn't allow that to happen, would you?
Well, no. I mean, I've lived there. I think it's a fantastic place. I don't need to sell anybody
exactly
on my affinity for any place.
No, they just have a lot of issues going on right now. And, when Red Dog calls in, he only gets to call so many times a year because his wife has a moratorium on that. And, someone threatened to beat him up one time, and so he had to lay low for a while. But one thing is true, or two things are true about Georgia. They have an awesome defense. There's no denying it. The other one is that we've already seen what they can do with Stetson Bennett, and they're not going to win a championship with Mr. Bennett behind the wheel. And instead of a cardiologist, Matt has to procure a proctologist every year that they lose to Alabama.
Thanks for the call, Greg. We're heading to a break. More phone calls and more guests here on a Thursday. Reminder, tomorrow, live from the University of Kentucky in Lexington. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Continue. Hello, Alex. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Oh, I was just wanting to call and ask, why everybody, is having a hard time trying to figure out why Georgia and Alabama has separated themselves. And to me, it seems like until you put together one, two, or maybe three number one, top five recruiting classes, you're not going to hang with them guys. And I don't understand why people can't see that. There's just better athletes on the field.
You're 100% correct.
There
can be upsets, but for the most part, those two are light years ahead of really anyone other than maybe LSU. LSU has recruited at a high level. They just have not been able to either keep the players on the roster or keep them healthy. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Paul in Georgia. You're on the air. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Paul Feinbaum. How you doing, man?
I am doing great. Thank
you. First-time caller.
Wonderful.
First-time caller.
Well, come on board.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm from South Georgia, down here where Jackie Robinson come from, the baseball player.
He was a great
one. You remember him, don't you?
One of the most important players in history.
Yes, sir.
Jackie Roosevelt Robinson.
Yes, sir. I just want to say I'm proud of my Georgia Bulldogs, and I want to continue it on to all the other people because I think Georgia's going to do everything this year, what they should have done a long time ago.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Paul. How are you handling all the belittling from the Alabama folks?
Oh, I don't know. You know, Alabama's always won, but I think this year's going to be Georgia's year. I really do.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, you take care of yourself, okay? How about Frank next in Kentucky, where we will be in a few hours? Hello, Frank.
Hello, Paul. I was talking to you a few days ago. I got cut off. There was a short in the line. Talking about Kaywood.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes. And I want to finish up, and I've got a couple other things. I won't take too long.
Of course.
I told you about running into Vern Lundquist, and he told me they were going to interview Kaywood after that game because it was his last game. But Mike Krzyzewski came over, got on the UK network, so they never got around to it. So
yeah, we were talking about the Christian Laettner game, of course.
Yeah. Vern Lundquist told me he was going to interview Kaywood. They were going to be on the network, CBS, I believe, but when Krzyzewski came over and got on the UK network, they never got around to it. But about this football team, I'm very optimistic about UK, but when Florida was going down the field the other night, we all get that feeling in the pit of our stomach that something's going to go wrong, but it didn't. I took my grandson up to a game a couple weeks ago to the Chattanooga game, and we were not impressed with the offense. But who won that game Saturday night? Was the fans, they were just unbelievable. That's why there were so many motion calls, because they couldn't hear the calls at the line of scrimmage. And I was at that game when Chris Doering made that last catch several years ago. You remember
that
one?
Was in the early 90s, of course.
Yes. And we actually went out to dinner afterwards and had some Florida people apologizing to us for that loss.
Yeah, that was a game that Florida was dead, and I remember either listening to this game or watching it, and all of a sudden Doering caught almost a miracle catch in the end zone, and Florida won.
Bad secondary defense.
Yeah.
But and also, I wasn't there at the Bluegrass Miracle. That was even worse. But
that's the worst ending to a game I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, but we're used to that. But we are excited about this team. I think we'll give LSU a good game. I do think LSU's got some internal problems that we don't know about. But the Cats are well coached, and Stoops has put together a good staff up there. So we're excited about the team. Thanks for my call, Paul.
Thank you very, very much. Really, really a pleasure to hear from you. Mike is in Tennessee. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Very well, thanks.
That's good. Hey, Paul, I got, am I allowed to ask you what you think about Tennessee?
I wish you would.
I heard a while ago, I listened to you, made some kind of a statement that, you know, maybe I misunderstood you, but what's your chance? What do you think about Tennessee?
Well, I think things have gone really well. I was so impressed with Josh Heupel's demeanor last week. I mean, that was just one of the most shocking results of the year in the SEC.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked to McElroy, who did the Tennessee-Florida game, and he was very impressed with how Tennessee acquitted themselves then. The Pittsburgh game is yesterday's news. I think Tennessee made up for that game, and now – it's, you know, every week becomes an endurance test. I think Tennessee will beat South Carolina, and then you start rolling the dice. Can it pull an upset like Ole Miss at home?
Well,
hey, thanks for the call. We're unfortunately out of time. I apologize for getting you so late. We have one more hour to go.